We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Samach Vav in the standard editions, which is really page Lamed Beis Lamed Gimel in the Talmud. And the Mishnah had described that the early generations of Hasidim used to prepare for prayer for an hour, pray for an hour, and then after prayer, spend an hour in shul. And now we have a quote, Tanu Rabbanan. You guys see it, fourth wide line, the end of the line. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanai quote that was approved by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. Chasidim HaRishonim Hayu She'in Sha'achat U'mitpalelin. The earlier generation of Chasidim would pause an hour prior to prayer and then they would pray Sha'achat for 1 hour. V'chozerin V'sho'in Sha'achat. And then they'd pause for another hour after their prayer. So they spent 3 hours for each prayer, three prayers a day. Questions the Gemara, if they take 3 hours a day in prayer, how can they hold on to their Torah? You know, you got to review your Torah. How are you going to do that if you're spending 9 hours a day in prayer? When do they have time to work? But says the Talmud, because they were so pious, it worked. Their Torah was retained. Umlachtan mitbarechet, and their work was blessed, and they were successful with a small amount of time. They went into the market when it was low. They pulled out when it was high. They got it just right. Sometimes a guy has it. The Gemara says in Shabbos that there are many people who tried things that are similar to this and it didn't work for them. So you see, even in the Hasidim, the Gemara says it was some earlier generation of Hasidim. I don't know if we can count on this working for us. If they were on their level. Yes.
Was this at the point when it was, I don't know when was this exactly? Because if it was after the established prayers and you got shachar, it's a lot longer than minchamar, and it was taking equal time for each.
So last year I looked into this, and I couldn't find a source that says when these Hasidim Rishonim lived. And then, just today, I came across a source that says it. I think it is either the Malbim or the Gra on Megillas Esther. One of them comments on when these Hasidim HaRishonim were. I don't remember who, and I don't remember what time period they give them. Just today I saw it, and I don't remember. Maybe I'll be able to look it up between classes. But in the classical commentaries on this Gemara, I couldn't find an indication. When were these Hasidim Rishonim? I don't know. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic quote that was authorized by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya, or Rav Hoshaya. Maseh, a story. Bechasid Echad, we had one unusually pious person, Shaya Mitpalel Baderech. I guess he was running late, so he had no choice but to daven on the road. And we learned about 30 pages ago that when a person is traveling and it comes time to daven, he shouldn't go into a rickety building that might collapse on him to daven. He could daven on the road better than endanger himself. So this chassid, he was traveling. Maybe he was in the middle of the desert or somewhere, and he came time to daven. He didn't have a minion, so he davens there on the road. Uvag monechad, and an officer came, some officer who was not Jewish came along, v'natan lo shalom, and said, peace be with you, sir. V'lo achzir lo shalom. So this chassid is davening, so the officer can wait. He doesn't say anything. Hemtino ad she'siyem tfilato. The officer waited till the chassid finished his prayer. And when the chassid finished his prayer, Amarlo, the offer said to him, Reika, hollow one, haloktiv v'toratchem, it says in your Torah, rakisham alecha o'shmo nafshecha meod, watch over your life. Doesn't the Torah say your life has to take precedence? V'ktiv, and it says, v'nishmatem meod l'nafshotechem, watch over your souls. The Torah twice commands you, watch yourself, keep yourself alive. Kshenatati lecha shalom, lama lo echzarta li shalom. When I greeted you with peace, why didn't you answer me? If I would have sliced off your head with my sword, who would have taken me to court? No one's here. Me, you. You have the gall not to answer me when I greet you in peace. Why? You're talking to God. Would God have intervened if I would have drawn my sword and taken off your head? Amalo. So the chassid said, Hamten liyad shafayeschah bidvarim. Give me a minute. Let me explain. And believe me, at the end of the conversation, you'll agree. Amalo. So the officer is waiting patiently. And the chassid says, Ilu lifnei melech basar v'adam hayita omid. If you would have been standing before a king of flesh and blood, and someone came along and greeted you with peace, hayita machzir lo shalom, would you have answered him? Amar lo lav. He said, nope. V'im hayita machzir lo shalom, ma hayu osim lecha? And if you would turn to someone else while you're standing in front of the king, and someone else would come over to you and say hi, and you turn to him and say hi, and then turn back to the king, what would they do to you? Amar lo hayu chotchim troshi b'sayif. So the officer said, then the king would have had my head sliced off. Amalo v'alo doim kal v'chomer. So the chassid said, so isn't it logical? Isn't it a fortiori? V'ma ta sheit omed lifnei melech basar v'dam. If you, when you'd be standing in front of a king of flesh and blood, shayom kanu machar b'kevir, that today the king is here, tomorrow he might not be around. Kach, this is the way you would have behaved. You wouldn't have answered anyone who greeted you. And you would have expected the person to understand. I was standing in front of the King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. He is eternal, forever. How much more so? So the officer was appeased, and the chassid went home in peace. Says Tosfos. What's going on here? How could he risk his life? Okay, he got away with it. How could he risk his life to do this? So Tosa says, this chassid obviously knew the officer, and he knew that this officer might yell at him, but his bark was bigger than his bite. He wouldn't slice his head off. And he knew that he could talk to him and convince him afterwards that everything's okay. Because otherwise, says the Tosa, of course he should have stopped his Shmona Esrei and answered him. Tanu Avanan. We have another braisa validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya. Ma'aseh b'makom echad shehaya bo arod. Famous story. There was a snake called an arod in a certain place. V'haya mezik et abriyot. And this arod would come and bite people, this snake. And obviously he was harmful. Ba'u v'odiu l'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So they came and told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. You remember him. We learned about him last week and the week before. He had a small amount of food every week, a kav of carob. You remember? Yitzchak asked, why didn't he sell it and start making business? You guys remember? All he had was one kav of carob for his whole family. You remember the neighbor that came in and opened up the oven to see what food they had, why their chimney had smoke, and a golden foot of a table that came down on their behalf. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa lived in dire poverty, but he was exceptionally pious. The Talmud says every week a heavenly voice would come out and say, the whole world is being sustained because of him. That's why I'm giving you all, your economies are lasting. And he has a small volume, like two Coke bottles, volume of carob. That's his sustenance all week. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So they told him, there's an arod, some snake that's slithering around in that area, and he's harming people. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, show me, where is the hole? Where does he live? Halchu ve'eru choro. They went and showed Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa the hole over which the arod lives. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa put his heel next to the opening of the arod. The arod slid out of the hole, took a bite of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's heel. And then the snake dropped dead. So he picked up the dead arod and carried it on his shoulder into the academy. Amar lehem, he said to the students, Banai, my children, Re'u, I want you to see the snake. She'en arod memit. The snake isn't what caused death. Elachet memit. Sin is what causes death. The snake isn't your problem. Why did the snake come here? You guys remember the story of Lalius and Papus, Papus, the La. Forgot the brother's name. Papus and his brother. something like Lanyus. No, you guys don't remember? Gmarantanis. The Roman emperor's daughter was found murdered next to a Jewish village. Papus Velulianus. Papus and Lulianus. That's the famous Papus, the son of Yehuda, who came to Rabbi Akiva when Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah to the masses after the Romans said they'd murder anyone who teaches Torah to the masses. Papus came to Rabbi Akiva and said, "What's wrong with you? How come you're teaching Torah?" We'll get to that. It's a Gemara later on. Rabbi Akiva says, "What do you mean, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you?" You guys know the story, the fox and the fish. The fox went to the fish. Rabbi Akiva tells him the fox went to the fish and said, "You fish, why don't you and I do what our forefathers did in ancient time, back before Darwin? They all live together, the fox and the fish. Come out to the dry land, we'll all make peace." And the fish said to the fox, "They call you the smart one. You're dumb, you're not smart. Ata tipesh velo chacham." My children know a song in Gan, they teach them the story. Ata tipesh velo chacham. You're stupid, you're not smart. If down here we have to run around and try to escape the fishermen's nets, and maybe we'll live and maybe we won't, if we come out of the water, certainly we're dead. So Rabbi Akiva said to Papus, he said, "If when we learn Torah, we're worried the Romans might kill us, what's going to happen if we don't learn Torah? Then certainly we're dead. Then the Jewish people have no future." So this Papus and his brother Lulianus lived in this town where the Roman princess was found murdered. So the Roman emperor came to town and said, "Either give me the murderers or I'm killing the whole town." Papus and Lulianus stepped forward and said, "We did it." So they took them to torture them to death. They didn't do it. But in order to save the rest of the Jews, they said, "We'll say we did it and that will save the town." So the Romans looked at them and said to them, "Papus, Lulianus, what do you have to say? Where is God now? Why isn't he here to save you?" So Papus and Lulianus said a famous line. They said, "If we're going to die at your hands, then God wants us dead. It's not because you guys are killing us. God has bears, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. There are a lot of ways God could kill us. We stepped forward to save the rest of the people. Now whether God will save us like Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, or God will allow us to die at your hands, that's a question of what God wants should happen to us. But it's not a question of whether you can murder or not. We're standing 2 years away from the murder of all the children in Merkaz Arab. We had a class on that. The thing that's always difficult when there's a murderer or a terrorist hits is that we feel like he had a choice who would live and who would die. And we have to remember, so long as we have done our proper hishtadlut, so long as we have taken care to remain alive, we've done the best we could to stay alive, we have to do the maximum. The maximum means sometimes you have to run, sometimes you have to hide. You have to do the maximum to stay alive. At the end of the day, whether you live or die, if you've done your best, it's in Hashem's hands. It's not our responsibility. So that's what Papus and Liliana said. We're in a situation, we're in a predicament where we've done our best. And our best is to say, we killed them. We killed her. But God could kill in any way He wishes. So Rabbi Hanina ben Doso over here, well, he had a trick. But Rabbi Hanina ben Doso was telling them, "Guys, this isn't the way you think." Now, the Rambam explains, Hashgacha Pratis, how does it work? Hashem's looking at every step you make. You know, there are Gemaras that seem to say, if death is in the air, people die. If there's a plague, people die. Stay away. Don't walk into the city when there's a plague. Then you have Gemaras like this, that say that if you don't deserve it, you're not going to die. How does that work? So the Rambam says it depends on your level. The greater a person is, the more accurate is his judgment. The more Hashem gets involved every step of the way to ensure that nothing bad happens to him unless he deserves it. A person who's a regular person, so he's got to watch out, like Hashem says. You know, there's going to be a plague of firstborn, Hashem says. People are going to die. If you're out in the streets, you're going to die too. It has nothing to do with whether you deserve it or not. If people are out in the streets, they're going to die. That's what we're going to start learning on Friday. The Ran's third speech, the Drash Saran, the third speech, the Ran describes, how did this work? How does Hashgacha Pratis work? How could it be that God says, I'm coming to kill the firstborn of Egypt, but if you Jews are out there in the streets, you're going to die too. Why? How does that work? So we're going to learn that in the Ran, Bezrat Shem, on our Friday class. But the Rambam gives us an important principle, that Hashgacha Pratis depends on your level. The greater a person is, the more apt Hashem is to get involved on his behalf and change things. A person like Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, so then he knew that he could put his foot by the pit and the arot could bite him and drop dead. I wouldn't try that at home, boys. You know, it obviously didn't work for other people. His students, who were also giants, it didn't work for them. They were worried, right? The students said, Rabbi, we got a problem. There's a snake near in town. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa knew that he could do that. Now, what's this arot? So the question is whether the story happened actually or not. The Gemara quotes a story, but the arod seems to be some kind of fantastic snake. The arod appears in the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos. It appears in a few places. And the Medrash says the arod was a snake that after it would bite a person, there would be a race. Whoever would get the natural body of water first, the other one would die. If the person could get the stream or a river or a creek after he was bitten, the snake would drop dead. And if the snake got the stream or a river or a creek before the person, then the person would drop dead. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, Moshe lema dover dome. The Medrash is bothered. How come after Moshe saves Yisro's daughters, it says they came home and they tell their father, Yisro, ish mitzri hitzilanu miyad aroi. An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. Moshe's an Egyptian? Moshe's a Jew. How come they call him an Egyptian man? So the Medrash says, Moshe lema dover domer. What's this similar to? A man is bitten by an arod. He's bitten by an arod, so he makes a mad dash to the nearest body of water. So he's running, and the arod is sliding next to him, running also, and he takes a dive into the ocean, and he gets there first, and the arod drops dead. And right there, as he goes into the ocean, there's a baby who's drowning. So he grabs the baby, takes the baby out of the water, and the mother's there and says, how can I thank you for saving my boy? And the man says, don't thank me, thank that arod. It's because of him that I'm out here. And the Medrash says, same thing happened with Moshe. Moshe comes and he saves Yisro's daughters. So they say, how could we thank you, sir? So he says, don't thank me, thank the dead Egyptian. It's because of him that I'm out here. So they come home to their father and they say, Ish mitzri hitzilanu, the Egyptian saved our lives. The Egyptian, thanks to him, Moshe came out here. You know, the whole story, they tell him the whole spiel. So the Medrash seems to be telling us, you know, seems like a pretty fantastic story. This arod bites a person, who gets the body of water first. Whenever you hit stories like this, you have to wonder if that means literally or figuratively. Same thing here with Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. So the Jerusalem Talmud, Tosfos, or one of the Rishonim here, the Tosfos quotes, in the Jerusalem Talmud, it's quoted that right after the arod bit him, Hashem made the earth crack under Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's foot, and he dipped his foot into an underground stream that was right there, and then the arod dropped dead. So again, you have to ask yourself, does the Medrash, does the Gemara mean literally this is what happened, or is the Gemara coming to give us a message? So that, who knows? I don't know. Botasha, that time, after that, when they had this story, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa comes in carrying the dead snake. Amru, the student said, Oy lo la'adam shepaga bo arod. Woe to the person who meets up with an arod. Oy lo la'arod shepaga bo Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. And woe to the arod that meets Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. That's what the student said. Okay, so we have one more minute. We'll try to move forward a drop. Abdallah bechonen adat my time. The Mishnah said, they instituted that we say Havdalah in the blessing of chonen adat, in the fourth blessing, Shmona Esrei, every Matzei Shabbos, we say, Atah chonen l'adam das, and we say, Atah chonantanu l'madat toratecha, v'atlamdenu lasot chukei retzonecha, we say, Atah chonantanu, right, Hashem, you gave us, you granted us this free gift of intellect, so that we could understand your Torah, and you gave us the capacity to discern between that which is holy and that which is not. Right? We thank God for the capacity to discern. That's Havdalah. We discern between the weekday and the holy day. And so we thank Hashem, and we ask Hashem that the coming week should be a week chasuchim mikol chet. A lot of people misread that. They think it's chasuchim, it's chasuchim, it's a sin. It's spared from all sin. Not darkened with all sin. Chashuchim means darkened with all sin. We say chasuchim, let them be spared of all sin. So why did the sages institute that the blessing of Havdalah is within the fourth blessing, the blessing about intellect? Mitoch shuchol, being that the blessing of Havdalah is the first, is a blessing that discerns that now we've entered weekdays, Kavua beberkat chol, the sages instituted it in the first blessing, that's so to speak a weekday blessing. All Shabbos long, we don't say atochon in la'adam das. We have the first three blessings of Shmona Esrei, and then we say the blessing of Shabbos, and then the conclusion of Shmona Esrei. Atochonin, the fourth blessing of Shmona Esrei, is really the first blessing that starts the weekday Shmona Esrei, technically. That's the first blessing we omit on Shabbos. So therefore the rabbi said, the discernment, which is a discernment of weekday versus Shabbos, should be mentioned in the first blessing, that's a weekday blessing. There's a famous Jerusalem Talmud here that says, the reason is because in en de'ah havdala minayin, this blessing is atachonen la'adam da'at, we ask Hashem for knowledge, for intellect, and if you don't have intellect, you don't have discernment. Intellect grants us the capacity to discern. So that's a Jerusalem Talmud's answer, why Havdalah is in this blessing. Be'ez Hashem will pick up here. I don't know if we're having class next week. It's Purim. Mm-hmm. So look at the bulletin board. Keep posted. You guys could email me and I'll email you back. We'll know later on in the week what the schedule is for Sunday. And if not a week from today, then in 2 weeks from today, Be'ez Hashem will meet here again. 6:30. Now there's a Mayri.